Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
That is the Thursday edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for joining us today. This is a return visit for our guest on our newsmaker line. Her name is Casey Riley, and she is a CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer of something called the Fat Plant Society, based in Kansas City. That is a crazy name, and we're going to find out more about it with Casey. Casey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, you and I were together at the AMA Iowa event where you came to do a keynote speech, which was, I think, very impactful on the people that were listening. And that's where you and I met. And then you told me that you were at this place called the Fat Plant Society. And I'm going, what the heck is that? And went online and learned more about it. And this really is an amazing business. Tell us about it.
Oh, thank you so very much. The Fat Plant Society was founded in 2015. My husband, Morten Klinta, who is a Danish national, born and raised in Copenhagen, Denmark, he and I founded the company together in 2015, and it was really born out of my husband's passion for plants, specifically succulents and lichens, or moss, as the common name.
Moss.
Moss.
Yeah, okay. By the way, I need to ask the question, does he eat Kringle?
I'm sorry?
Does he eat Kringle? Does your husband eat Kringle?
Of course.
I was going to say.
Absolutely. It's a staple. In fact, Christmas is a wonderful time to be in this house because in addition to being a great horticulturalist, he's also a fabulous cook.
You mean he makes the stuff?
He does.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, see, I have to order mine out of Racine, Wisconsin. So, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. Well, this is a fascinating story about your company, Moss Walls, Moss Interior Designs, something called Vertical Gardens, and Succulent Plants. Let's break that down. What in the world is a moss wall, Casey?
Well, the underlying thread that runs through all of those products is sustainability.
Okay.
So we're particularly fond of designs that really don't require a lot of maintenance and a lot of water. And obviously, succulents, as desert plants, do not require a lot of water. And in exploring the different types of plants and options available to us, we found ourselves in Arizona, which, of course, is succulent country.
Sure.
And that was when we first encountered the use of preserved moss. Preserved moss is different from what folks will know as a living wall, also goes by the name of a green wall. The product we use is a little bit different because it doesn't require any watering, it doesn't require any misting, and it's really not living in dirt. It's been preserved or essentially just stopped in time using a secret formula that involves paraffin. So it will retain its color and texture for 10 years, if not longer, but without the complicated watering systems that a living wall would require.
Got it. Okay, so who uses moss wall? What are the practical implications of a moss wall?
One of the most practical uses of a moss wall is for enhancing an acoustic environment. So as we're all aware, many restaurants can be very noisy, especially those that have open ceilings and maybe exposed pipes and that kind of thing. The moss will actually provide a wonderful acoustic barrier. So it warms the room and dampens the sound, but it also eats up volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. So in the case of Hogshead, Kansas City, on the Country Club Plaza here in Kansas City, they have an open kitchen.
Oh, boy, that can be noisy.
Yeah, the open kitchen puts off a lot of noise. It also puts off a lot of smells. And the moss soaks up the sound as well as the volatile organic compounds and really doesn't require any real maintenance by way of watering or misting, as I mentioned. If there is any maintenance required, it's as simple as utilizing some compressed air to blow the dust off, but that is seldom required. So it's a wonderful maintenance-free solution to improve acoustics and improve air quality in public spaces.
So when you do a moss wall, let's say it's for a restaurant, and they're wanting to not only dampen the sound a bit, but also, you know, get rid of some of the smells, how big of an area do you need to have to be able to install such a thing?
In the case of Hogshead, Kansas City, that particular wall is actually 28 feet long and 4 feet tall.
Well, that's not very big.
Yeah, it takes up the half of the it runs
sure.
the entire wall.
Sure, but I mean, I was envisioning this thing that was going to be, you know, 70 feet long and you know, 12 feet high. But wow, that's surprising. Okay, go ahead.
So it's nice and manageable, and in that particular installation, we actually developed the wall using 2x2 panels. So if something should go wrong, we also understand, we've both spent plenty of time in public spaces, and we understand that the public can be hard on things.
Sure.
So if someone were to grab onto the moss and pull it or damage it in any way, rather than needing to replace the entire piece, we can actually replace it in the 2x2 segments. But we've been receiving quite a number of requests recently for standard sizes for people who are interested in actually having moss in their homes. And one of the common requests we're getting is for folks who want to have some type of greenery in a bathroom, and that bathroom may not have a window or may not have access to great light, so keeping a plant in there would be a significant challenge. So we, in the next 3 months or so, we will be offering standard sizes, 12 by 12 inches or 24 by 48 inches. So we can actually create anything as small as the 12 by 12 inches all the way up to, as you're suggesting, the 70-foot-long, large, you know, giant-size installation. It's really a matter of what the customer demands, because we do build everything to spec.
Sure. We're talking with Casey Riley, ladies and gentlemen. She is with the Fat Plant Society in Kansas City. All right, so these 12 by 12 or 24 by 24, whatever these sizes are, so is it like almost a picture frame that you can take and hang on the wall, and that's it?
Precisely.
Wow.
We utilize a framing process that's a shadow box, and my husband likes to say that he paints with moss. So he essentially uses the moss just as an artist would use paint. We design it utilizing the color and the texture, and we work to create the ideal design. And that involves listening to the customer.
Got it.
And that's one of the core values of the company, is that we want to listen carefully, and we ask a lot of questions from the outset to make sure that we're providing the design that meets their expectations.
You know, one of the things that is not very surprising about this, Casey, is that individuals, people in Denmark, are very, very environmentally aware of things, of the environment. Is that one of those magical things that Morton brought to Kansas City?
You know, it really is, Michael. It really is, absolutely. And our backyard would be the first testament to that. We live in an old home in the West Plaza area of Kansas City, and our home is actually built in 1909.
Wow.
And if you were to come into our backyard, it would feel to you a lot like being in Europe, because we don't cultivate perfect grass. We have about three different types of grass. We've got some fescue and other types of grass, and we've got plants as far as the eye can see. So it's certainly not what one would consider the standard, tidy, you know, suburban American yard. It looks like something from an old world, you know, place. So our backyard would be the first indication, and my husband has been very, very firm on organic gardening practices. So he refuses to use any chemicals of any kind, and that actually does have bearing on what you're able to grow.
Sure.
and frankly how tidy it looks. But what we found is that we've got a yard and that is very visually interesting, and there's a surprise around just about every corner. So yes, he certainly brought a lot of his Scandinavian influences to the U.S. and to the business.
We're talking with Casey Riley, ladies and gentlemen, from the Fat Plant Society. Okay, so I have to ask, how in the world did you come up with that name? Very inventive, by the way, but how did you do that? Where's
that
from? Thank
you. Morton and I are very social people, and we are also very community-minded people. And when we envisioned the business, we wanted to essentially create a society or provide a space and an organization for people who love plants as much as we do. And because inclusion and being inclusive is another one of our core values, we felt that utilizing the term fat plant, which incidentally is succulent is fat plant
sure.
in Latin. So that's the name fat plant. But the society piece is because we feel that community is important, and by anyone listening right now, by virtue of listening to me talk about the Fat Plant Society, is also now a member of the Fat Plant Society.
Ah, there you go. If you shall hear the words, three words, Fat Plant Society, thou surely shall be a member of that society. Good stuff.
Well put.
So let me dovetail into, we've talked about moss and moss walls and the idea how that that is a help for restaurants and restaurateurs. What about these succulents? Now, there can't be much in the way of succulents in Denmark. Where does the passion for succulents come in at?
The very first time I took my husband, Morton Clinton, to the desert to visit my parents in Arizona, I've never seen anybody so excited. he was so completely overwhelmed and enchanted by the desert that he actually enabled me to see the desert. I've been visiting Arizona since I was a kid, and my parents now live in Scottsdale permanently. And he enabled me to see the desert with completely fresh eyes.
Hmm.
I had not appreciated the beauty of the plant life that is natural to the desert area. And once I got to look at it through his eyes, I appreciated it as well. It's the shape and style of the leaves and literally the fat plants. You know, the leaves of each succulent are fat and they contain water. There are over 800 different species of succulents. And, you know, each one is special and unique and beautiful in its own way. But the nice thing about them and our favorite thing about them is that they really are incredibly low maintenance. For example, in the winter months, you really want to leave your succulent plants alone. You don't want to water them at all, essentially, during the months of January and February. As folks who like to travel, and especially during the winter months, that became ideal. But, you know, we're also aware of the cost of water and the impact of water use on the environment as a whole. So that gives us just another reason to love succulents, because in comparison to other plants that might be native to the Midwest, the succulent is going to require significantly less water
sure.
than just about any other plant.
Sure.
And they, of course, thrive in heat.
So one of the other things, and I think this is also very interesting about your business, the Fat Plant Society, is not only do you do moss walls and do you do succulents, but Morton also is a craftsman, and he creates these gorgeous planters, some by customer demand, others that he makes on a regular basis. Can you speak to that side of the business?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for asking about that. Morton is a complete autodidact. He literally taught himself to create these wonderful handmade boxes for the succulents. And the way he describes it is that his goal was to put succulents on a pedestal. You know, as I mentioned, he fell in love with succulents on his first trip to the desert and really wanted to put them on a pedestal so that the succulent itself would become the focal point. Because of his upbringing in Scandinavia, he's very much interested in things that have nice, clean lines.
Right.
So you'll notice that our handmade succulent planters are very clean. They're clearly Scandinavian influenced, and we are able to make them in everything from small size to giant size. As I mentioned, we build to spec for each of our customers. But it was wonderful to watch him go through that process of developing his skill as a craftsman and then utilizing everything from found materials to repurposed materials. I think my favorite piece of all, however, is the handmade succulent planter that he made out of an old dresser.
Huh.
So an old, chest
sure.
of drawers that was destined for the landfill, and that made a particularly beautiful piece. So
interesting stuff.
We do try to repurpose and reuse and utilize recycled materials whenever we can.
That, again, is the voice of Casey Riley, ladies and gentlemen. She is the chief marketing officer of the Fat Plant Society, and she happens to, she lives with the founder of the Fat Plant Society, her husband, Morton. One final question, and I think this is really interesting. Not only are these the boxes and the planters very nice, but then you do some vertical gardens with these succulents as well. So my question is, this is something that you take, a vertical means it must be upright, I suspect. And then, well, how do you mist these? How do you care for that?
The vertical frames are one. I'm in love with them, and we keep them all over the backyard in the summer. The vertical planters are actually made with a little bit of dirt, about 2 inches deep on the back side of it, and some wiring on the back to keep the dirt in. Then we plant the succulents in the dirt, and we let them take root, so that when we tilt the vertical frame, vertically, okay, the plants will remain intact. With regard to care on those, the best notion is, we always joke that it doesn't ever mist in the desert.
Okay.
So we know that the succulent really doesn't care for misting. When it rains in the desert, it rains heavy and long for a long period of time, and that's the exact same watering process you want to use on the vertical installations as well. So essentially take them down, give them a good long soaking as if it were, as if they were experiencing a rainstorm in the desert. Let the water drain out, and then back up on the wall they go.
Great. And can these be outside or the inside, or how does that work?
We've actually utilized them outside and inside.
Wow. Very nice.
And when we do advise folks, when they're going to be hanging them inside, you'll want to make sure that all the water is drained out, obviously, before you hang them back on the wall.
That would be a mess.
But they in our house, there's no damage to the wall behind it. They function really well. It's just a matter of choosing the right succulent, because there are some varieties that will get a little too long and a little too leggy. So it's about knowing the right succulent for the right size.
A very interesting business. It is called the Fat Plant Society. Casey, thanks for joining us again. I really appreciate that. And you see what a unique name does. It just gravitates to people and say, I got to find out more about this. And this has been totally enjoyable. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You're absolutely one of our favorite members of the Fat Plant Society, Michael.
All right. We will have links to the Fat Plant Society on the radio blog, so you can find out more about Casey and her husband, Morton, and what they're doing, not only in Kansas City, but all across the Midwest. Good stuff. Thanks, Casey.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. What did happen after the tariffs were announced? We'll share that with you when we come back on the Thursday edition of the Business News Hour. With a little